What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at BollandBranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
As promised, caller 10 right now at 800-636-1067. Congrats, you're winning a pair of tickets to see the Capitals on February 1st against Winnipeg. For tickets and the complete cap schedule, go to thefandc.com. Beltway Blitz time in moments. We'll cover the Caps, the NFL, and the Commanders here on Grant and Danny. Brought to you by our friends, the law firm Kondori and Murad.
As Washington continues to build the foundation of success on and off the field this season, it's time for you to plan for your future as well. As the exclusive sponsor of our show, the law firm of Kondori and Murad can help you update your last will and testament or set up a revocable trust for you and your family. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys today by visiting kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them that Grant and Danny sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
As a reminder, the NFC Championship game can be heard right here on 106.7 The Fan. You can listen to it this Sunday. Ian Eagle, Kurt Warner, Ross Tucker, awesome broadcast team.
Nice.
On the call, crystal clear FM right here on The Fan this Sunday. Make sure you're listening. If you want to get ready for the game with us on Friday, we got an opportunity for you. We're going out and about. A field trip Friday, hopefully our biggest of the year. We're going to Bethesda, just outside the city, at Caddies on Cordell. We're headed to Merlin, across the river. Come on out and find us at Caddies in Bethesda and party with us ahead of Sunday. By the way, in less than an hour, 5 o'clock today, Austin Eckler, presented by IT Cadre. Cannot wait to talk to Eckler after he was tremendous in a win in Detroit. That's coming up at 5. Let's kick off the Beltway Blitz. And we start on the ice with the Caps. Before we look ahead with Sammy Silber, who covers the Capitals. Sammy, I just want to get your thoughts on the Caps being the best team in hockey right now and how unlikely this was. At the beginning of the year, there were plenty of outlets that had them in the bottom 5, 7, 8 among teams and power rankings. What they've done is just unbelievable. Most recently, a 4-1 pounding of the Penguins.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive to watch. I think you saw a lot of critics kind of doubting what Washington would be able to do this season, especially after, you know, the way last year went, how they stuck into the playoffs and then got swept. I think, you know, a lot of credit goes to, you know, Brian McClellan, obviously, and Chris Patrick and that retool on the fly over the summer. But, you know, at the same time, all the new additions with, you know, you got Dubois, Chikrin, and Thompson all playing their best hockey. You got Ovechkin still doing Alex Ovechkin things. And then, of course, Spencer Carberry, right, just tying that whole group together. It's a very tight-knit group. And honestly, I mean, I was surprised when people said that they wouldn't be doing, you know, so hot this year, because I thought that would be great. But they're showing the league, you know, not to make early judgments. And, you know, they're rolling. And even when they're not rolling, they're finding ways to pick up points. So it's been pretty impressive to watch.
Sammy, I care about this stuff. I feel like a lot of people don't. But here's where I'm going with this. And it's not because I'm very observant or any kind of sports genius. It just sort of was pretty clear to me. Logan Thompson's their best goaltender. And, like, can we just say that? Can he instead of when Charlie Lindgren's back and at full operational capacity, stop kind of this alternating thing? Can we sort of lean into the idea that if the playoffs started tomorrow, Logan Thompson would be the dude to start all the games?
Yeah, I think you go with the number one. I mean, I think it's fair to say. I mean, you saw, you know, Charlie Lindgren's injury. Not that Lindgren. I mean, stats don't tell the whole story. I think Lindgren has been, you know, playing well. I think Thompson, you know, has been playing extremely well. You know, and stats don't always tell the whole story, and you got to look at the eye test. But, I mean, you look at Thompson, you see, okay, is he able to, you know, have those impressive numbers, right, without getting a rest every other game, right? Now he's able to continue it for two games, three games, four games. I think tonight's going to be the fifth straight start, right? So given that consistency and just the way he's played and his style and the way that he's been able to, you know, just shut down any opponent, doesn't matter where they're coming from, it's been impressive. And I think now that you've seen him go for a stretch, you can definitely kind of pump the brakes on, you know, every other game, and we could start to talk about a starter here, which is what you need in the playoffs.
I mean, they've got points in 22 of the 24 games he's played this year.
Yeah.
A 2-2-3 goals against. He's top three in almost every goaltending stat in the NHL with a .921 save percentage right now. He had back-to-back shutouts. In fact, he went 8 periods without giving up a goal this week, which is why he was the first star in the NHL, a .33 goals against with a .984 save percentage. Let's look ahead to tonight. They've got a puck drop later this evening, late night Caps, 9 p.m., I believe, out in Edmonton, and they will not have to deal with Connor McDavid.
Yeah. No, I mean, what did Ovi say this morning? You know, suck for him, but good for us, right? So it's it'll still be a hard matchup. I think, you know, you look at Leon Draisaitl and you look at Zach Hyman and you see, you know, all the depth that the Oilers have, and they're really a dangerous team, you know, whether they have McDavid or not. I mean, granted, that's a big, big piece to take out of your lineup because, you know, every night he's in, he's going to make you miserable. He's the best player in the world. But, you know, I think it's a big opportunity for the Caps. I think that they got to capitalize on the team kind of trying to figure out, you know, okay, how do we go about playing without our captain? But it's definitely not a game to be taken lightly, for sure.
Sammy, how does Ovechkin do this now? Like, in other words, like, he's scoring the goals. It's incredible. But he's not skating around like a bull in a china shop anymore. It's now like a if to use a baseball analogy, a pitcher that used to throw 100 that now throws 80, but is still getting outs, like, with just guts and guile and stuff. Like, break it down for me. How is he scoring at this prodigious clip despite maybe not having the same physical tools?
Yeah, I mean, you look at it, right? And it's funny, I was talking to Brendan Morrison, who played with him in 2009, and he's like, you probably don't see him, you know, mulling guys, you know, head first into the boards anymore. But, you know, you look at O and you see, you know, you're never going to lose your scoring sense. I mean, physical things can go away, but the two things that just don't go away for him are the way he sees the game and that shot, you know, and whether it's coming from the office on the power play or whether it's coming in front or coming off a wrister, like, he's finding different ways to get it done. But he still has the lightning quick release. He still has the hockey IQ. And you can see it. You know, he puts himself in the right spot. You know, you can tell, like, on the power play, if it's not working for him in the office and that's not where the passing's going, he's going to move up, you know, closer to the crease and see if something happens there. So it's finding his spots. He's such an intelligent player. And the shot, you combine all that together. And it's just history. It's the greatest goal scorer of all time. I mean, that's the answer, is just greatness. So it's been fun to watch, for sure.
Sammy, thank you for the time. We appreciate you.
Of course. Thank you. Take care, guys.
You got it. Let's keep the blitz going. Nate Davis, USA Today Sports. We are on to the conference championship round. Games 283 and 284, I believe, of this NFL season. Commanders, Eagles, 3 o'clock. Bills, Chiefs, 6:30. Nate, why don't we start with the NFC title game? How hurt is Jalen Hurts?
Well, you know, he was kind of equivocating, Grant, on Sunday. I mean, I don't think there's much doubt that he's going to play. But, you know, I thought his lack of mobility on that safety he took shortly after he got hurt concerned me. I don't know. I think it's going to be a pretty big factor going into this game. I mean, if he can't leave the pocket, if the Commanders just decide, hey, you know, we're going to focus on Saquon Barkley and make Jalen Hurts beat us, I think that works into Washington's favor. We'll see.
Why is that defense so good? You look at a couple years ago, Nate, when they went to the Super Bowl, they set the, you know, the world on fire with, by sacking the quarterback a billion times. This group doesn't do that, and yet they're as good as anybody in terms of yardage allowed, points allowed, and just frustrating people.
Yeah, Danny, I think it's depth up front and certainly the dominance that Jalen Carter has brought in year two. But I think they're better on the back end. I think Quinyon Mitchell, Cooper DeJean have really helped the secondary. And I think they're much better, you know, at the linebacker level. That's normally, you know, a place where, you know, the Eagles are good, but they don't tend to invest a lot there. And, you know, they didn't necessarily invest a lot in Zach Bond. I mean, they got, you know, a little lucky, you know, with him on what they invested versus what the return on that investment has been. But, I mean, he's probably been the best off-ball linebacker in the league this year. Going to be a free agent, probably a prize one. But, I mean, he's made a real difference for that team.
Let's talk Bills-Chiefs in an AFC title game that's 3 years in the making. I go back to that 2022 Classic. I think everybody's wanted to see this in this round since then. Is this the year that Josh Allen and Buffalo break through?
I mean, it could be. I mean, this game feels like it's a little bit of a toss-up, but, the Bills, you know, of course, have not been able to break through against the Chiefs in the playoffs, and they haven't been able to do it at Arrowhead. You know, three losses to the Chiefs in the playoffs in the last 4 years, two of those at Kansas City, and you cite that 2022 game. I don't know that we're going to see that again. I mean, certainly with the way the Bills play offense now, obviously Tyreek Hill no longer part of that equation. I think that this, you know, what we're more likely to see this time is more of a slugfest of teams to kind of pick their spots. But I think it'll be close. I'm a little concerned about the Bills being, you know, banged up, especially on the back end in the secondary there. And the Chiefs, I think, looks awfully fresh. You know, certainly guys like Travis Kelce and Chris Jones, and, you know, that's what happens when you have to play one meaningful game. It's Christmas, so I tend to think it's trending a little bit in their direction right now.
Nate, my stomach turns for Lamar Jackson. The shouty shows and everybody else is going to say what they're going to say, kind of no matter what, when you don't win in the postseason, despite another MVP caliber campaign. His turnovers, he needs to be responsible for those. I thought that fumble was terrible, so was the interception. Then the Henry drop pass, the multiple Andrews drop pass, the Andrews fumble. It's like if one of those things just goes right, they're playing the Chiefs this coming weekend. Just kind of what about him and sort of the state of the union there?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think they said yesterday that they feel like it's inevitable that Lamar will win it one of these years. I'm kind of with you, Danny. I'd hate for this to become part of his narrative that he can't win the big one. And I mean, some years it's been deserved. And I think it was kind of an organizational breakdown, you know, last year in the AFC championship game against the Chiefs. He played well. I mean, he played well enough on Sunday, but I mean, he did make some uncharacteristic mistakes and certainly, you know, basically overcomes them until Mark Andrews has that drop of the two pointer. You know, at that point you would have had a brand new game essentially there. It's unfortunate. It's kind of had me ruminating, you know, should the MVP, not just in the NFL, but in every league, be more of a all-encompassing include the playoffs? I mean, because MVPs are generally playoff guys anyway. Lamar's probably going to get number three here. He'll be the seventh to do that. All the rest of them have titles. So I hope for his case, you know, he does get that ring and kind of puts that can't win a big one narrative to bed. But he hasn't had a hand in a lot of those. But it seems like he's getting more and more comfortable at this stage. We'll see what happens next time.
Ben Johnson of the Bears, thoughts on that hiring and the coaching cycle in general here?
Yeah, I mean, obviously Ben Johnson bided his time before taking – this was the job he wanted. And I think probably the thing that put it over the top was knowing that he's going to inherit a young quarterback on a rookie contract with a GM that knows how to acquire talent, they're going to have the money to do so. I think if you're the Bears, probably the thing you're as excited about as anything, because not only do you probably get – the most prized coach of the last couple of years, at least on the assistant level, but you also really deal a blow to your division rival in the process. So from that standpoint, I like it for the Bears, and I like it for Caleb Williams. I mean, they really failed in this year by not having a proper infrastructure to develop a young quarterback, including the fact they didn't keep a veteran quarterback on the roster for most of the year. So I think this should be a good win for the Bears.
Nate, thank you, buddy. I always appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
You got it, dude. Hit that local 53 sounder, Darris. Our pal Liam Griffin joins us. Not Liam Cohen, who's up for a head coaching job. Liam Griffin, Washington Times, covers the Local 53. Liam, I don't really have a great question for you. Then, can you believe it?
Yeah, I mean, this is my first season on the beat, and so I've been joking with some of the more tenured reporters.
So I'm
like,
all right,
so it's like this every season, right?
Very common. Very normal.
Yeah.
What do you think is the most amazing part of this run, maybe outside of the Daniels rookie season?
Yeah, I mean, the Daniels thing can't be overstated, as you alluded to. Rookies are just not supposed to do that. But to me, I think it would be the cohesion that you see from this roster and how quickly it was all able to come together just based on the record amounts of turnover that they had. They completely remodeled this roster, league-leading levels of, few guys returning, tons of new free agents, and the way they were able to gel so quickly is astounding.
Why will they be able to beat Philadelphia this weekend?
I think they'll be able to beat Philadelphia because this is going to sound, like the most basic thing in the book, but they can score more points. The Washington Commanders, with Jaden Daniels on the field, they feel like they can score with anyone, and they've proven that throughout the season. If it turns into a shootout, I don't think they mind that. If Jalen Hurts is being forced to drop back 30, 40 times to keep up with Jaden Daniels, I think that is a matchup they're going to appreciate. Now, if Saquon Barkley takes over the first half again, that might not bode well, but I feel like this could turn into a shootout, and that plays into Washington's favor.
How big of a loss is Sam Cosmi in the short term here over the next couple of weeks, and how will they get by without him, specifically against Jalen Carter?
It's a really big blow to them. He is probably the best player on that line right next to Tyler Biadasz, and I think you're going to see the biggest impact on this run game that has struggled recently. They performed well against the Lions, but everyone knows that the Lions are eviscerated on defense. But in the end of the regular season and the beginning of this postseason run, they were having trouble getting any kind of designed run game going. And with Trent Scott in there for Cosmi, most likely, I think you're going to have to see more creativity from Cliff Kingsbury's scheme, and you're going to need more help blocking these Philadelphia Eagles pass rushers, especially Jalen Carter on the inside. He's going to get a double team, and you might need some help on the outside too.
So I was just thinking kind of over my lifetime, Liam, of some of the greats of this game, at the receiver spot most specifically. Jerry Rice, obviously, sort of, pretty much everybody's one seed, understood. But then you start to go down the list, whether you like Terrell Owens or, the deep threat of Randy Moss or Calvin Johnson. Where does Jalmy Brown rank among those all-time greats?
He's someone who's going to be interesting to watch as you move towards this offseason because, like most of the pass catchers on this team, he'll be a free agent in just a couple months. And so if he's able to put together, as you mentioned, this Jerry Rice, Randy Moss run like he has the past couple weeks, he's someone who they might want to build around. You guys have been asking me all season, who's the number two behind Terry McLaurin? Who's it going to be? It's Noah Brown for a little bit. It's Olamide Zaccheaus. It's, 34-year-old Zach Ertz. But if Noah Brown can keep putting this together, either the Commanders are going to give him a nice hefty paycheck or somebody else will.
Yeah, I mean, look, Jefferson makes $35 million at the top of the wide receiver market. CeeDee Lamb, $34 million. A.J. Brown, $32 million. I certainly don't think he should be up there. But what about, the next tier down? Amon-Ra St. Brown makes $30 million. Tyreek Hill makes $30 million. What about Deami Brown somewhere in that $30 to $31 million per year range?
I think it might be a little bit soon to put him in that range just because of...
What if he has another game like the last two? Then he's probably like...
Then it's 30, 35.
33, 34. Or do you just go all the way to 40 and you just start a new market?
It's funny given how often earlier in the season or in the offseason I had to keep talking about Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk and how they all want to come to Washington. And as the season went on, it was T. Higgins, targeting him in free agency. And now I'm just hearing more like, no, we're good. We got it. We're good.
Liam, tongue in cheek. It's fun because they're going to the NFC Championship game. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you, guys.
Liam Griffin covers the team for the Times. We're going to have a little fun next. We're going to look way back into the rearview mirror to when they were bad. Play a little I'm old enough to remember now that the Commanders are great and maybe the best team ever in the history of the National Football League. You're listening to The Fan.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how.
Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
He's Danny. I'm Grant. This is The Fan. Austin Eckler is on the show in 30 minutes. Matthew Berry, longtime ESPN fantasy expert, now with NBC, joins us at 6. 2 hours remaining in the program today. Feels like just one giant countdown to Sunday at 3, doesn't it?
Just a whole bunch of anticipation. Since that final whistle went off in Detroit, you know when the number one seed in Ryan's favorite team had to go home and start their offseason? Just sit there going, okay, let's go. I want to play the next game right now.
I have no nerves at the moment. We're too far from kickoff. Just excitement, but the nerves will ramp up. It's funny. It has not felt watching a game like the Washington-Detroit matchup did for me in a long, long time. That was watching a Nats playoff game, kind of tight stomach. I'm just not used to that for football in this town. You just don't get
That's
it.
That's right. I mean, the times it's been, oh, my God, they have to or else – have been for much lower stakes.
Oh, the lowest.
You know what I mean? Where it's like, I mean, that 2012 win against Dallas to get in was awesome. I had a blast, like everyone else did.
The Jets game last year when they were ruining their draft positioning,
yeah,
moving down the field with Jacoby Brissett, and then the Jets got the ball back, and you're like, please, God, please go do this. And they were just checking the ball down every single throw to their running back. I don't remember if that was Brees or somebody else. Might have been Brees Hall. They just, remember that drive?
Of course, yeah.
And they just get barely across midfield, and then Greg Zuerlein boots the ball or else.
Oh, Greg the leg.
You know, Washington ends up moving down the draft board, and history is very, very different. All right, the segment here we want to do is called I'm Old Enough to Remember, right? Because most of us are old enough to remember times before Washington was the best. And this Commanders team was great. And the idea is we will recount some of the things we had to overcome to get here, right? The tribulations that we had to hurdle over. So as you think of something that you're old enough to remember from the days of Washington being bad, you can call us and share your experience at 800-636-1067. That's 800-636-1067 on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. So, Danny, I'll give you an example.
Mm-hmm.
I am old enough to remember back when Washington was bad.
Uh-huh.
And I cried because Joe Gibbs benched Patrick Ramsey for Mark Brunell. I remember thinking it took 1 hour since you've been hired for you to make this trade for Brunell. And then he started initially and it went to Ramsey. And then 2 weeks in, he gets like a concussion and Gibbs goes to Mark Brunell and pulled the plug right out from underneath of him. And I thought, you had this in the bag all along. You knew you liked Brunell. You guys are bonding behind the scenes, behind Patrick Ramsey's back. I thought the kid got screwed. And I'm old enough to remember being on my deck, crying, and my dad coming outside and going, get it together and get in the house, because Patrick Ramsey had been benched.
They go, DP. I'm old enough to remember Inside the Red Zone with Vinny Serrato. That was a radio program that aired on Dan Jazeera radio here in town, the artist formerly known as WTEM, where Vinny Bumbatz was hosting a show. The calls became so upset and irritated and angry that they stopped taking calls. Then he stopped coming on Mondays after losses altogether because people were so fed up and so pissed off. Inside the Red Zone with Vinny Serrato.
I am old enough to remember Charlie Casserly being dismissed by Dan Snyder shortly before being named Executive of the Year. The 99 Redskins, the team that he built, which prior to this past weekend was the farthest any team had gotten since the 91 Super Bowl in January of 92. But in that early offseason of 2000, Dan Snyder didn't want a GM who was a football guy who made football decisions. He wanted to do it. And so he fired Charlie Casserly, who would then subsequently, simultaneously almost, be named Executive of the Year. And Washington would not have an actual empowered GM running everything unilaterally until they hired Adam Peters after Snyder was gone.
I'm old enough to remember, speaking of Snyder, when he sued the Washington City paper because they thought they could bully the paper into not existing anymore because they had more resources than the paper. That's part of the back and forth that happened. The lawsuit was dismissed because Snyder and company hadn't read the actual article that caused them to sue. That happened.
I am old enough to remember when an early round draft pick was traded for TJ Duckett. TJ
Duckett. Duckett. Yeah.
Duckett that trade.
It was a good one. It made sense at the time. I'm old enough to remember Pat Hill. That's your season ticket holding grandmother who was sued by the team as part of several people that were sued by the team because they couldn't afford the price hikes during the economic downturn. I'm old enough to remember the team suing its fans.
Let's go to the phones. 800-636-1067. Ali is in Manassas. Ali, what are you old enough to remember?
Oh, man. It's 2009, Jim Zorn against the Giants. Absolutely worthless game. I think we ended 4-12. The swinging gate with Hunter Smith as quarterback.
It's a great time.
That's the one.
Wonderful play. The beauty of the swinging gate, lest we forget, was that they lined up in the formation, and then a timeout had to be called. And then everyone was like, oh, thank God they didn't run whatever the hell that was. That would have been so embarrassing. And then after the timeout, they came out and lined up that way again.
They trotted right back out there.
Still ran the play.
They trotted right back out.
It wasn't just that they ran it. It's that they almost got bailed out on accident and still pushed through and ran it. Will's in Stafford. What's up, Will?
Hey, Will.
Hey, guys. I'm old enough to remember a couple personnel moves. That year we raided the Jets and we took Morton, Coles, Randy Thomas, John Hall, Tom Tupa. We were told Chad Morton would be our stud kick returner and he was a bum. Lavernius Coles would catch 80 or 90 balls. You know, he was gone in a couple years. Then we decided to raid the Rams, Archuleta and then Trunk Candidate. We were told Candidate was a home run hitter out of the backfield. I think that was one of the quotes by the running back coaches there, quotes. But, yeah, just personnel moves from years and years. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate you.
Here's a good one, Danny. I'm old enough to remember Sherman Lewis, the bingo caller.
Oh, that's my Sherman.
So for people that don't remember this, I'm getting to my larger point. But Sherman Lewis was brought in, was a longtime NFL coach, and in his opening press conference, he was there to help. Their offense had been bad, and someone asked, hey, what were you doing before this? And he said into the microphone with cameras rolling, I've been calling bingo.
There it is.
Most embarrassing, terrible thing ever was that admittance. No one kind of vetting him, hey, they might ask. Let's not say you were calling bingo. Let's tell them.
Studying.
Right.
The league.
Getting ready for this opportunity.
Looking at trends. Yeah.
But it's not even that. I'm old enough to remember the charts on the primetime games on Monday Night Football, where at that time, what would have to happen was the bingo caller would pick the play he wanted on his play sheet, and then he would say it into the room for two coaches to hear. And the one coach would have to relay the running plays to the offensive line or whatever, and the other would relay the passing plays. But it was so complicated and stupid that they needed a flow chart. Do you remember this?
Yes, of course.
Where it would show, like, Sherm with an arrow to one of the coaches based on runs or passes based on the other coach. And so they would do this flow chart of how the plays got into the helmet. And weirdly, during that time,
did it not work?
The offense didn't take flight.
I'm old enough to remember Albert Hainsworth's conditioning test and what happened in his pantaloons. He had to start it over.
That was a good conditioning test.
That was a great conditioning test.
Let's go to James in Winchester on Grant and Danny. What's up, James?
A big game, James.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. So, yeah, a lot of great takes on this so far. I think this is a little more recent, and all these bad decisions and personnel moves and coaching was starting to add up. But our wonderful, I guess, GM at the time, Bruce Allen, claimed that somehow we were winning off the field.
Yeah, we'll never forget that.
We remember that, don't we?
On this show, we still celebrate that one. Taj on Twitter, at Grant H. Paulson, at Funny Danny. I'm old enough to remember the Michael Westbrook-Stephen Davis fiasco. Kids know about that one? Stephen Davis is sitting next to the practice field as they're stretching.
Yep.
Michael Westbrook, who would go on after his career to be a cage fighter, not a joke, in mixed martial arts, jumped on Stephen Davis and started pounding on him, punching him in the face. I want to say broke a bone in his face.
Oh, yeah.
Bloodied him. That was your best running back and your best wide receiver getting
into how's this season going
to
go?
Gigantic fist fight. Let's go to Jeff in Richmond. Hello, Jeff.
How's it going, guys?
Hey, buddy.
So I'm old enough to remember Jack Pardee's years of all the leftover Over the Hill gang and how bad we were right before Gibbs got hired.
You, so far, are the oldest person here, sir.
That's a long, dark period.
That certainly is. Let's go to Alex in Manassas. Hey, Alex.
Hey, guys. I am old enough to remember how excited we were about Steve Spurrier and Danny Werfel. So much that my father named our brand new dog after Steve Spurrier. I think the dog performed better than that offense.
Alex, where did they play the preseason game when they lit up the San Francisco 49ers?
I bet Alex knows it.
I don't. I want to lie, but I don't know.
What is Osaka? Japan.
Osaka.
What is Osaka,
for Japan? For the young ones that aren't old enough to remember, Steve Spurrier was hired. He's going to bring the fun and gun from college at Florida to Washington. He emptied his playbook in the preseason opener, and they threw it all over the yard, 400-some passing yards, just had a day. Meanwhile, it's just an NFL preseason game, so the other team is doing nothing.
It's 49ers, yeah.
And they're just getting ready for their year.
That was the best offensive performance I'd seen until this past Saturday.
They
by the way, for Washington.
That's so true. They ran a flea flicker in that game.
Yes,
in that preseason game. Remember that?
Yeah, of course.
Spurrier. I mean, we were all high-fiving the next day. Remember when the Commanders weren't the best?
Yep.
And they weren't awesome and Super Bowl-bound potentially? What are you old enough to remember from times past? That's the question on Grant and Danny. G&D on the Fan, Austin Eckler at the top of the hour right at 5 o'clock. Make sure you're listening. By the way, we've got brand new shirts I just saw at the 1067 The Fan merch store. You can go to 1067thefanshop.com. It's a pretty damn good shirt. It says Fly Ilgesses Fly. So it's Fly Elgesses Fly.
Yeah.
1067 The Fan.
That's pretty good.
Not too shabby. You might need to get yourself one for your party this weekend. Fly Ilgesses Fly.
Fly Ilgesses.
God, that's good. Go buy those now. So, what are you old enough to remember? That's the big question. Someone just sent me a great one on text, one of our buddies. Sent me a text message that said, I'm old enough to remember Gus Frerotte running his head into the wall.
I sure am. All of it. It's incalculable, the sheer volumes and sheer numbers. You could go back to more recently. I remember the first time there was a federal investigation into Dan Snyder. I remember the first lawsuit. I'm old enough to remember all that stuff. I'm old enough to remember when he took out a loan without the permission of the minority owners, allegedly, whatever word I have to say, so he doesn't sue me from his yacht. I'm old enough to remember all of it.
Let's hit the phones, 800-636-1067. Tony's in D.C. What are you old enough to remember?
Enough to remember. I wanted to say... we got eliminated, but I started laughing uncontrollably when Danny does the impression. I wanted to say Albert Haynesworth taking a siesta or coloring on the ground.
Just
while.
Laying down. Oh, when he laid
during the Monday Night Massacre.
Carter, good one, Tony.
Yeah, Carter hurdles him.
He comes flying past and just jumps over him, the beached whale that's laying there. By the way, I have not thought about that in a little while, but that was only 2 years ago-ish now.
We could be eliminated. We could be eliminated.
Because remember, that wasn't a disqualifier. That wasn't what got Ron Rivera fired.
Should have been.
The terrible season that came after it.
Yeah, it was after that he got fired by a whole year.
You think Dan Quinn would know going into this game that if they lose, they're done? I could just see him after the loss walking into his press conference going, look, we're going to get some things right. We'll get him in the second game of the series.
Anybody, anywhere, anytime. That includes next week.
Love you.
Let's
love
go
you.
To Carlos in Savannah Park. What's up, Los?
Hey, Los.
I remember, I'm old enough to remember my first Redskins game I saw on national television. When the season started 2002, I saw that they won against the Cardinals on the front page of the Capitol. I'm like, you know what? Let's check this team out. They ran a touchdown on the kickoff against the Philadelphia Eagles. After that, we lost 31-7. I'm old enough to remember that.
But it's a good indoctrination. You got a little bit excited, and then you got knocked around for
and
your hat.
And then you got bullied. Yeah.
At least you knew what was coming, right? I'm old enough to remember when the Commanders turned 3 years of top 10 quarterback production into a compensatory draft pick. That was what we were told was a job well done when they botched the Cousins situation every single which way. Not just by not paying him initially, but then by tagging him and paying him all of the money as a rental every single year, only to then get nothing for him when he walked out the door.
Well, that was leading me into I remember. I'm old enough to remember when it didn't work, when Bruce said, I'll go fix it. I'll fly to his home in Michigan and get this done. It didn't get done because the quarterback had all the leverage. And then Bruce called J.P. Finley and a couple others into his office and cut a fiery WrestleMania promo about how much of a selfish bum the quarterback that they were about to employ that year,
yes,
who they didn't like anymore, was.
I am old enough to remember that as well. That was their, let's call up the companies that are have contractual relationships with our team. Have them and only them come into my office so that we can show them the details of where the contract ranked in the very basic, not actual how it works way. And then let them go on air and talk about why what we offered was actually a good thing.
And then they wouldn't trade him to San Francisco because they didn't want him to be partner back up with Kyle Shanahan.
In case it might have worked
out. In case it could have worked.
Let's go to Disco and Laurel. Hey, Disco.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, buddy.
I'm old enough to remember Steve Spurrier couldn't remember the name of his defensive coordinator. Called him Jim Haslett. Yeah, that guy down, Jim Haslett.
That's right.
Yeah, that guy down. I don't spend as much time in the office as that guy Haslett down in New Orleans. So Jim Haslett, and he called Darkarian McCants.
Darkarian was McCants, my favorite.
Darkarian.
He called him Darkarian McCants. And another Spurrier, when Brandon Noble, I think he got traded or released, Spurrier told him, I don't want you giving away any of my secrets to your new team. So, guys, I remember Spurrier and Jim Haslett.
Disco, hey, do you remember the tight end? This is a deep
cut. I'm here.
Do you remember the tight end, Zaron Flemister?
Yes.
So random, but I still remember Spurrier would call him Zaron Flemster. It always popped me. He said, oh, thanks, buddy. He said all of his play, not all of them, a lot of his
players' majority
names just wrong.
Who was the kicker that whose name he couldn't say right?
Was kicker, wouldn't it have been Brett Conway?
James Tuttle.
Oh, okay, Tuttle.
Yeah. Tuttle?
Zaron Flemster.
Zaron Flemster.
But he's right, Darkarian McCants. Oh, my gosh. Six touchdowns for him. Couldn't say his name.
The painter.
Austin Eckler is a part of a new era. Hopefully, you're old enough to remember the 2025 season, because it has been a banger for Washington. Austin Eckler's playing in an NFC title game this weekend. We'll ask him about that next live on Grant and Danny.